number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Leg it down. Smack him.
Next time is the right time. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now. This is what we do.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
All right, week 11 and almost in the books. We got a big one in Foxborough Monday night, but some games that we got to get to tonight. Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take you through the night tonight. On the day that Tony Romo came back to the Dallas Cowboys and breathed some life into the team. I don't know how much life they've got. I don't know how much the light is still on for the Cowboys, but they did get a win. They did go to Miami, and now this sets up a matchup with the 10-0 Carolina Panthers on Thanksgiving. We also saw Brock Osweiler with the Denver Broncos take over that job for Peyton Manning for the time being. Who knows how long that would last? Right now, it looks like it'd last a while as they beat the Chicago Bears on the road 17-15. We saw the Atlanta Falcons today get off a bye week, something that they've had a lot of success with in the past, getting a win off a bye. But the Colts were also coming off a bye. And they went to the Georgia Dome and beat the struggling Falcons, who started off, they were one of the unbeaten teams we were talking about early. And since then, they have really struggled. Four of their last five, they are on the losing end. They are now 6-4. The Houston Texans have now come back to life a little bit at 5-5. They beat the New York Jets at home with TJ Yates at quarterback. And the Eagles, where are the Eagles? As Jameis Winston threw five touchdown passes for Tampa Bay. A lot of other games to get to, a lot of other games to dissect. But I want to get to the Sunday night game for a second. And listen, we go over these games every single Sunday. We talk about the meanings. We talk about what this game will do for this team. And what statement does this make? And what statement does that make? And I watched this Sunday night game, and I just loved it. I just had a great time watching it. That's all I needed. And the two teams that played tonight, won by the Arizona Cardinals, as both teams are now 8-2. Both teams are in good hands. Both teams are fine. For the Bengals, I know it's back-to-back losses, but throw it away. Throw it away. That team rebounded after that dud against the Houston Texans. That team rebounded to go on the road and put up that kind of performance and come back in the fourth quarter in that game. Yes, you lose. Yes, you're 8-2. Yes, it's 2 in a row. Fine. This stuff happens. No need to dissect. No need to look at a larger picture. No need to do any of those things. This was a good, fun game. Maybe not so much in the beginning. I was out to dinner with my family tonight, so I kind of watched the first half way in the distance on the bar TVs at the restaurant that we were at. But when I got home and settled the kids in, I watched the second half. And I just like to have fun with a football game, and I had fun with this on Sunday night. Some of the other games that we got to get to, there are larger pictures, and there are larger things to get to. In Denver with the Broncos, this defense that Denver has just needs an offense that will do things the right way and score some points and not turn the ball over and not put the defense in awful positions. Let them do their job. They may have that now with Brock Osweiler, who didn't throw any interceptions today. The Dallas Cowboys, larger picture. Are they back, quote unquote, at 3-7? I mean, 3-7. Yeah, sure, Tony Romo's back, but what are we talking about here in the NFC East? So yeah, there's a lot of larger picture stuff that we have to get to, but Bengals and Cardinals, they're fine. They're fine. Don't break them down. Don't look for anything larger. Don't try to find something wrong that's not there. These are two teams that played a classic. I thought the second half was as fun as I've seen in the NFL. Yeah, I know the first half there were some struggles, and Carson Palmer didn't look like he was going to be able to, you know, get through the game without throwing five more picks. But he settled down, and that both teams were exceptional in the second half. It was really fun. 800-777-2907. I want to get to the Broncos, though, and Brock Osweiler. And what does this mean for the Broncos? Yes, Peyton Manning's going to want to try to come back. He's not going to want to go out like this. But are the Broncos better off with Brock Osweiler, a quarterback, than one of the greatest who has ever played the game? Certainly does now, and I'll tell you why next. It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. 800-777-2907. Because a lot of this stuff that we're getting to tonight, whether it's Denver or whether it's the Colts or the Texans, as I mentioned earlier, or whether looking at Jameis Winston and his 5 touchdown passes, a lot of this stuff is going to be closing down the stretch, are going to be important to start looking at, right? I thought Minnesota today. The game with the Vikings. We said this last week. The Vikings are a team that you look at and say, okay, you're leading the division. Things are going well. You had this dud in the opener, and then you lost on the road to the Broncos. But since then, you've played well. But the Packers are the cream of that division. And you've got to get through them, and you've got to beat them if you want to take that next step. The Vikings didn't look like they wanted to take that next step. That doesn't mean they won't win the division. It just means, as a statement today, as much as I don't want a statement in the Sunday night game, I'm going to have one here. As I looked at the Minnesota Vikings and said, you know what? Tell me you want the division by at home beat the Green Bay Packers. Packers are struggling. You know they're not going to struggle forever. If you're going to strike, this is the time. And the Vikings couldn't do that today. So larger pictures, no pictures. We'll get to it all. 800-777-2907. But coming up next, Brock Osweiler and the Broncos and the future. That's next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quicken Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
You know, a lot of the attention is going to be, at least from a playoff standpoint or a large NFL picture standpoint, that one of the stories of the day is the play of Brock Osweiler in his first career start for the Denver Broncos, a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, and he's taken over the offense for Peyton Manning while he's injured, and he played very well. He threw 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Broncos beat the Bears. All of those things are true. I watched that game, and I still, and I don't know how you feel about this, Adam, the Bears should have won that game today.
100% should have won that game.
I still am blown away the Bears didn't win that game. I mean, with as many opportunities that they had.
I've seen a couple people say, you know, about Fox that they kind of agreed with the call to go for it on fourth down. I mean, in my opinion, the Bears were moving the ball all day against the defense. It's just they weren't scoring touchdowns. So, and that is how Denver plays. They're kind of that bend, don't break defense. But, I mean, you kick the field goal and you put yourself down 5. You don't go for the touchdown when you're down 8. Make it so if you do score, you're winning the game, not you have to go for the 2-point conversion, which they ended up having to do, and they failed. It was just, in my opinion, the wrong call. It was a terrible call.
I hate when my team is down 8 points
in
the final minutes of the game. I can't stand it because I know that I have that any elation that I get when they cross the end zone
short-lived.
To score the touchdown is short-lived because a 2-point conversion is a hard thing to do.
Yep.
It is a hard, hard, hard thing to do. You don't know what plays to call. Plays can get busted up quickly. I don't know what the percentage are. It just seems to me like whenever a team really needs one, they never get them.
You know, one thing I think about 2-point conversions, it's like I would almost my team go off sides, go back to the 7, and then you have to throw the ball, but you got more room. You got more room to operate, in my opinion.
Yeah, you got a little bit more room. You know, exactly.
And it's because a lot of times when the team tries to run the ball in a 2-point conversion, they get stuffed.
And I'm with you. I don't think the Fox call, people want to blame Monday morning quarterbacking, right? Like it just, oh, okay, well, it didn't work, so therefore you. No, I didn't like it the second he went out there.
I was screaming at my TV for him to kick the field goal.
I said, this is nuts. This is nuts. Take your points against a Denver defense. Take your points
and
as much as you can.
Time. Plenty of time.
It's 10 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and you're right. They were moving the football. You take another shot when you have it. Take another shot. By the way, this game proves a larger point. The Denver Broncos defense is one of the most undisciplined defenses yes. I've seen in a while. I keep, the penalties that that defense keeps ripping, it was amazing all game long.
You know who they remind
Flag
me of?
Flag for everything.
They remind me of the Lions of the last few years.
Oh, just, yeah, that's a great one. That's just a great point.
They would just, you know, they would go off sides a lot, or, you know, they grab and hold, but then they just do stupid penalties like, well, I think they said during the broadcast, they lead the league in personal fouls.
Yeah, personal fouls.
I think 23 on the year in 10 games.
They were flagged all day in that game. All day.
Stupidity.
Just, it's as good as they are, that is one thing they've got to clean up.
TJ Ward plays out of control.
Out of control.
He's kind of the guy that, you know, just, he's all over the place. And he's a good player. He flies all over the field, but out of control all over the field.
Yeah, so it was a game where I thought the Bears should have won that game. I thought this is just some bad calls, and you know, the Jay Cutler, the 2-point conversion call, the run or whatever. I don't know what happened there, but it was just ugh.
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to go back and look at it, and I tweeted when he did it or after they did it. I'm like, if you're going to run the ball, line up and run the ball.
Yeah, line up and run the ball. That's what you want to do.
The one thing you don't want, and that's what the play they ran calls for, but. Your offensive linemen are going backwards because it's a draw play, so you want them to think it's a pass. But and no, you want your linemen going forward in any kind of goal line situation. It was just,
yeah,
in my opinion, if you're going to run it, run the damn ball up the middle.
And you have to make that play. So yes. you really got to go with percentages.
Yes.
I mean, that's not the time to make the big try to do something quick or quirky or whatnot. You've got to make that play. So you've got to do something a little bit more on the higher percentage than that call. But
what did you think of Big Brock?
I thought, look, Brock Osweiler is the quarterback Gary Kubiak wants.
Yes.
He is the quarterback that Gary Kubiak wants to run the offense. Now, you can argue and you can make all of the points on a Kubiak offense being effective in championship and all that. That's a separate argument. But as far as what this head coach, who has been hired to run this particular team, what he is looking for, it's 100% Brock Osweiler. It is not Peyton Manning. They are trying to do something with Peyton Manning that people said at the beginning wouldn't work. And this my biggest concern this offseason was, look, I give Peyton Manning all of the, he's smart, he's intelligent, he's a football guy. I get all that. But there's one thing about him that I just was uncomfortable with from the very beginning, which was I don't think he's an adaptable guy. I don't think he's a guy that's going to take to learning a brand new offense or a different kind of system and be effective at it. Peyton Manning is capable of being an effective quarterback in any system, but it's a matter of teaching an old dog new tricks. And I think that's difficult at his point in his career to do something that is just not on his radar. Osweiler has got this down. Osweiler, they're able to run the ball because he knows he's a moving quarterback. He was efficient. He's not always going to be efficient. So I do not want to make these big, huge statements about Osweiler and the Broncos. But here's the trick. Osweiler and that Bronco defense should not have to do much for the Broncos to be successful. They do not have to put up 30-plus points a game. I don't know if they can. There's going to be games where he will, and there's going to be games where he's not. But they don't or should not have to.
One thing I took away from him that I think will come in time is the fact that Osweiler's arm is going to make Demaryius Thomas a threat again, deep threat again, and especially when they get Emmanuel Sanders back as well. Because, I mean, he's got a cannon, and he showed it off on that touchdown to Corey Latimer there at the goal line.
Yeah, I tweeted out, that's the hardest pass a Bronco quarterback's thrown in 2 years.
Right.
Right, I mean,
that's a lob to the back of the end zone.
That he has
to make a jumping catch for.
He threw a laser beam to Cody. I mean, a laser beam to Cody Latimer. I mean, it's a amazing cannon of an arm.
If that was
arm,
to Demaryius so. Thomas, he probably drops it because he's not used to that fast
he's
of
not
a throw.
Used to it,
I mean,
right.
At least Latimer gets the reps during the week with Brock Osweiler.
Listen, if I'm a Broncos fan and I'm looking to make the transition, I'm feeling pretty good right now. As of right now, I'm feeling pretty good. Maybe the other shoe drops and he's not as good as we think. But today, you can rest your head on your pillow that your team seems to be in pretty good hands with this kid. You know, who knows? I mean, but again, it's an offense that just get enough. You know, you don't have to wipe off the face of the earth. You don't have to score 55 points, whatever. Just get us enough. Don't make mistakes. Let the defense do what it does best. And the Broncos are going to be a threat. People missed this point about because I went back and forth with some of my friends on Facebook about this. People missed the point. I think Frank Schwab was from Yahoo Sports had made this as well. You're not replacing Peyton Manning. You're replacing a very ineffective 17 interception, can't really throw the ball very well, Peyton Manning. That's what you're replacing this year. You're not replacing the 55 touchdown guy from 2 years ago. That's not the quarterback you're replacing if you're Brock Osweiler. Because the natural tendency in these kind of situations, when the starting quarterback goes down and a 25-year-old backup who has not seen the light of day takes over, is that it's over. Right? We were a playoff team, but you know what? This kid's going to learn the ropes. And while he's learning the ropes, the team is going to suffer. That's not the case with the Broncos. The Broncos were able to win 7 straight games to start the season with a quarterback that was completely ineffective and one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. His name just happened to be Peyton Manning, and his career just happens to be one of the best ever. But the 2015 version of this guy was atrocious. And all you're doing is replacing that guy. You're not replacing the Hall of Famer. You're replacing that guy in this particular offense, in this particular team. And once you get your arms around that, head around that, you'll realize that the Broncos are in very, very good shape. Because if they were able to win 7 games with Peyton Manning throwing picks and whatever, you're going to be fine with this 25-year-old kid if he remains confident. Look, Osweiler's going to throw a couple of interceptions too, but what I'm saying is if he gets more confident under the system and they're able to run the ball and the defense is able to get turnovers, the Broncos are going to be fine. They're going to be fine. That's what I took away from this. If that kid went out there and threw 4 interceptions and a quarterback rating of 52, then I'd be saying, hey, Broncos are toast. But that's not what we got. What, 127, I think, on the day from a quarterback rating? 2 touchdowns, no picks. Relatively effective. Didn't have to go downfield much. Threw short passes most of the day. That's fine. That's what you need. 800-777-2907. All right, Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports is going to join us at the bottom of this hour. We'll get his take on everything from Sunday Night Football, which I thought was great, to the Minnesota Vikings, which I thought was the statement they needed to make. Plus, Indianapolis and Houston both winning in a division where, all right, maybe a losing record isn't going to win the AFC South. Maybe it still will. I don't know. But they're both winning. Who do you got your money on to win that division? A lot to get to on the show. You can join us at 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. Oh, and on this show, we're going to talk a lot of other things. We got the NASCAR finals. We've got college football shakeup, all of those things. It's all tonight as we cruise through the overnights here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports joins us next from Shutdown Corner.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take a look at the Sunday in the National Football League, and we bring in Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports of Shutdown Corner to go over some of the games that we saw on Sunday. How are you, Frank?
Doing good, man. How about you?
Good. I want to start with the Sunday nighter in Arizona because the Cardinals win this game. Both teams are now 8-2. And you know, Frank, call me crazy here because a lot of times we watch games and then we want to know what the bigger picture is. What does this mean? Where is this team going? Is there something to be worried about? But I watched the second half of this game, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm just enjoying myself. Yeah, sure, Pittsburgh has got a, you know, gets a little bit of an edge now in the division or gets closer in the division. But I thought these were just two really good teams. Somebody had to win. Am I overstating this, or is this just one of those good NFL games that we get every now and then?
I'm 100% with you here. Absolutely. I'm not just agreeing with you for the sake of agreeing with you. You can go to Shutdown Corner and read what I just wrote, which I basically said, if this game happened in early February, we'd be good with that, right? This would
sure,
be fine.
Yeah.
it would be one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time if that just happened in February. And these two teams are up to that. Obviously the Patriots are the best team. The Panthers have no reason to believe they're not the best team in the NFC. But, you know, the Bengals and Cardinals are really, really good teams. We don't have many of those in the NFL. And honestly, we haven't had a lot of classic games in the NFL this year either. So this was just a treat. Yeah, I mean, I look at the Bengals and I say, you know, you were down 28-14 going into the fourth quarter, and you battled back and you tied the game with less than 2 minutes left. There's no shame in that loss at all for the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was a great win for the Arizona Cardinals, too, who, I mean, this, you know, if you look at who they've beat this year, this was by far their best win. This is their first win against a team that currently has a record over 500. This kind of legitimized them, too. I just think you're right. Two great teams, great game. Dalton, Palmer both played well. Just soak it in, because this was NFL football at its finest, really. It was a great game.
Yeah, absolutely. With the Bengals, I know it's two straight losses, and last week was a real dud against Houston. But the reality is they bounced back nicely. If you're not going to win a game like this, but in the end, it doesn't look like there's something wrong with Cincinnati.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, they battled hard. They had a ton of injuries in the secondary during that game. I thought that Dalton keeps proving things week after week. You can't come away from this game. Maybe you did last. Maybe Monday, the Houston game, you went away from it saying, oh, here we go with bad Andy Dalton again. You don't go away from this game saying that. You go saying, wow, that guy's really made some strides this year, and he's a pretty good quarterback. And you know what? If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals, I hold my head up high and say, you know, this was like a playoff game to us, and we were right there, play here, play there, win it. You know, A.J. Green gets a foot down and a third down at the end. They win that game. So I think that this is a team that should win a playoff game this year. And honestly, I hope they do, just because it's just so rough on that team to lose the playoffs every year.
All right, so the Denver Broncos go with Brock Osweiler at quarterback, and they go to Chicago and they beat the Bears. And a lot of the focus is going to be on Osweiler and winning that first career start. But I got the feeling John Fox owes the city of Chicago or Bears fans an apology for the way he managed that game. What were your thoughts on that one?
You know what? Honestly, I didn't have a huge problem with John Fox necessarily. Look, we get on Foxy all the time for being too conservative. So him going for fourth down there when we're down by the goal line against that great Broncos defense, I didn't have a big problem with it. I really didn't. I don't know that you can necessarily say that the game's going to play out this way or that way. You got a chance there to score a touchdown. You try to score. No problem with that at all. And then a two-pointer at the end. Jay Cutler checked out of a pass play. You know, he saw something. I looked at, you know, I went back and looked again and did, like, you know, took a kind of paused the action and looked and to try to see what Jay Cutler saw. I didn't see it. I mean, the Broncos had him outmanned in the box, basically. So I don't know why he called for the run there, but that's on Jay Cutler. He has the ability to call an audible there. He called it out of a pass or miscommunication, because Martellus Bennett still ran a route that basically allowed T.J. Ward to come in from the edge and make the tackle. So this was not on Fox to me. I think that, you know, it was another, that was just another hard-fought football game that kind of it just didn't go the Bears' way.
For a guy that has spent a while studying under Peyton Manning, what were your impressions of Osweiler and how he handled his first start?
I thought all around just did really well. Now, you know, and he's not perfect. There are things. I mean, he only scored 17 points, so there's still some things. You know, he's got to get done on third down. Maybe they open the playbook up a little bit now that they've seen him play a good game. But I thought he handled it tremendously, and I don't even think it should be a conversation anymore. If Peyton Manning comes into Gary Kubiak's office tomorrow and says, "Hey, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go." I'm sorry, Brock Osweiler is a starter on Sunday. I think you owe it to your football team to see where this plays out. You got a guy, you know, Peyton Manning's been great, had a great career. We talked about this last week. And I've absolutely positively enjoyed Peyton Manning and every year he's been in the NFL, but he has a 67 rating. And the guy who just started one today at Chicago and pretty tough weather conditions too against an improving team, he had about 100, I think it was 127 rating today. So what's there even to discuss anymore? You got to see where this Osweiler thing goes. I thought their run game played better with him, because, and there's a reason for that. I mean, Gary Kubiak's run game only works when you have a mobile quarterback. You need the backside end to respect the bootleg, which Osweiler can do. I don't think there's not even a controversy anymore in my mind. This is Osweiler's job until he proves otherwise.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner on the NFL as we go around the games that were on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings, and this is going to be one of those larger than the game type of questions. The Vikings lose to Green Bay, and look, I know these divisional games are tough to win sometimes, and I sort of get it, but I thought this was kind of that statement game you make that says, look, we're leading the division. This is the kind of game we need to win at home against the division rival that's chasing us. Is there something larger to this loss for Minnesota than just losing to the Packers?
Yes, I think you're right here. I think that, you know, this one, we just talked about the Bengals and Cardinals, how you really can't do that game, but this one can. And I think the Minnesota Vikings told everyone, hey, you know what, we're still kind of a year away. That's okay. That's, look where they were last year. Look where they were the year before that. This is a season for improvement. This is a season for making big strides. It'd be huge strides. I don't, even the most optimistic Vikings fan didn't, I don't think thought would have been tied for first place going into Thanksgiving. So, I think this has been a great year for them, but yet they're still a young team in many ways. They still have a ways to go, but the arrow's pointing up. It's not a, this isn't devastating. It's not one of those you're never going to bounce back from this. You know, they learned something today. And then, you know what? They're still tied for first place. There's nothing that says they can't keep playing really, really well down the stretch and somehow steal the division from the Packers. But yes, I think the big picture, I just said, we're still a young team. We're still a year away.
All right, the Colts win today. The Texans win today. Who's the favorite in your mind in that division? Somebody's got to win it.
You know what? I don't know how the Texans are doing this. I look and I say, you know, on October 27th, T.J. Yates didn't have a job in the NFL. And and Alfred Blue is not Arian Foster. And John Hopkins is a real deal. He's great. But I don't know how this team moves the ball. I think Bill O'Brien's doing a great job scheming them up and just getting the most out of this team he possibly can, and the defense has played really well. I look at the Colts, though, and I say, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're getting it. Maybe, you know, they've now won a couple games. They played well. Hasselbeck came in and did a good job for them, as he has, you know. I mean, they're 3-0 when Hasselbeck starts. So, I don't know. I think it's still a toss-up. I think these teams are still flawed, but at least they seem to be making strides and getting better. And I had to pick one, I picked the Colts, but they also, don't forget, they have the tiebreaker because they won at Houston. So I guess I picked the Colts, but, you know, well, the Houston's showing me something, just kind of gutting out these wins somehow.
What's wrong with the Atlanta Falcons? Because off to that good start, but they've really slowed down offensively. Today, not so bad, but this is definitely a different looking team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wonder, you know, the buzz from, well, we got a new coach. He's really aggressive and exciting. And, you know, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, yeah, we don't really have a pass rusher. And we're not very tough up front. And we don't have a lot of difference makers in the secondary. You know, that kind of buzz wear off after a few games. And don't forget, too, they lost Devontae Freeman in the first quarter. He's a big part of what they do. We didn't know that coming into the season, but he has been a great player for them. He got a concussion in the first quarter. And your offense isn't the same after that. Tevin Coleman didn't play really well coming in. But this Falcons team, you know, however you want to break it down, they haven't played a good game since October 4th. That was the last time we said, wow, the Falcons really played well today. They've won a couple games, but kind of ugly. I just don't think they're very good. I just, at some point, you just have to say, look, you've lost to the 49ers. You've lost to the Matt Hasselbeck Colts at home. You haven't played well in a month and a half. We just got to kind of cross you off until further notice. And now you're only one game up on the Buccaneers and the Seahawks for that wild card spot. So you talk about the arrow pointing up for the Vikings. It's pointing down for the Falcons. I just don't see the same team I saw in September.
And how about them Buccaneers? With all the talk you and I have had of a Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston now in that same conversation after today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's really played well this rookie season. He has been so much better at not turning the ball over than I thought he'd be. I thought even if Jameis Winston played well, this year it'd be a 15-18 interception season, because that's the kind of player he is. But he's been really good with the ball today. He had 5 touchdowns. He's a guy who, he just is good at football. He did it in Florida State. He's doing it now. I mean, they had over 500 yards in offense. They're 5-5, and who would have thought that after that first week when they just got embarrassed by the Titans? Look, it's a fun story. It's kind of cool to see these young quarterbacks playing well. We don't have a lot of them right now, and you know, Winston having his team in the playoff contention right now is really unexpected. Kind of fun.
All right, is the pilot light still lit on the Dallas Cowboys? Is it still lit there?
Well, since they play in the NFC East, yeah. You know, they're 2 back, and you know they've already beat the Giants once. So you know, I think Philly's done. I think they're cooked.
They look so bad.
That Buccaneers, yeah, they're just stink. They're just not a good football team, and I don't think Washington's any good. They showed that again today. So it basically comes down to, can the Cowboys catch the Giants? Well, yeah, why not? I mean, Romo's only going to keep getting better when he gets healthier. Thursday, during the afternoon, is really interesting. 10-0 Carolina comes in. The Cowboys team that's obviously tremendously better than its record because of the injuries. If the Cowboys can win that one, and why can't they? They're at home, short week, all that kind of stuff. You know, then it's game on, I think. I think that they're going to need a win like that, maybe two wins like that. They play at Green Bay later this year. Maybe they need to win that one, too. But if they win Thursday, yeah, I think that not only is the pilot light on, it's going to be pretty hot if they beat the Panthers.
I think if they win that game, it's going to feel like a two-game jump in the standings. It's going to feel like, here we go. Here comes Dallas. If you're the Giants or anybody else in that division that's trying to make a run towards the end.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're the Giants, you say, "Well, geez, we're only a game and a half up, and we're only 5-5. How many more can we count on? Let's start looking at the schedule." I agree with you. I think that would be just confidence wise. If you can beat the Carolina Panthers right now, you've got to feel like you could beat anybody. You say, "Well, hey, Tony's back. We're a good football team."
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner. Monday Night Football, real quick on the Patriots. Rex Ryan, I know he loves this Patriots. If he gets into his head. Is there a chance he's got a Bills team that can pull something off here? He's done it with the Jets a couple of times. He's beaten the Patriots. But does he have a Bills team that's capable of this?
I don't think it's crazy. I'm not picking it. I think at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to find a way to win. But, you look and you say that the Bills are a different team with Tyrod Taylor. You look at their games. If you just eliminate their games with E.J. Manuel because he wasn't very good, you look and you say, well, this Bills team actually is pretty good. They've played well this season. They're kind of an efficient offense. They can come at you in a lot of different ways. The defense, when it's right, plays really well. They got a lot of talent over there. They're going to make things difficult on the Patriots at times. So, the Patriots are banged up. Everybody just assumes Amendola will step in. They'll keep cruising, but they've taken on a lot of water. So it wouldn't blow me away if the Patriots lost on Monday night, I guess. It'd be a little bit of a surprise, obviously, be an upset. But, I think the Bills can give them a game.
Always good talking with you, Frank. Have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner, as we go over the National Football League. A lot of stuff to dissect today, as we were talking about, with Romo coming back, Brock Osweiler's performance with the Denver Broncos. I thought the Sunday night game was just fun. I was at dinner with my family. I watched the first half kind of through the building and through the room into the bar area, kind of caught a couple of touchdowns, couple of big plays, just a couple, because it wasn't a lot in the first half. Got home, put the kids to bed, started to relax, started getting ready for the show, and then watched the second half and just thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, just sat and enjoyed it. Wasn't trying to overanalyze anything. Wasn't trying to figure something out. What's this team? I just went, you know what? This is one of those games I love where I've got two very good teams. Both are heading to the playoffs. They're both fighting it out. Somebody's going to win this thing. Somebody's going to lose this thing, and it's not going to be devastating. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was a fun game to watch. And yes, sure, the Pittsburgh Steelers gain a little bit with that loss by the Bengals. And sure, Seattle would have gained a little bit had Arizona lost. But nevertheless, I think these are two very, very good teams. It was fun to watch on Sunday night. 800-777-2907, your number. We're got a lot to get to from the NFL. I do want to touch on the NASCAR stuff with Kyle Busch winning the championship on Sunday in Miami. We'll get to that as well. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loan Studios.
And back to Tony D.
All right, thanks to Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. Shutdown Corner. Great stuff. Going over the Week 11 news and notes from the Sunday games with Romo coming back for the Cowboys. And I was a little disappointed in the Minnesota Vikings today. I said that earlier. Look, and I'm not big for these big, large narratives, but I have to say I had to buy into the one that said, hey, Minnesota, if you're ready to take that division, this is the game you have. This is the game you got to win at home against the Packers. Go beat the Packers. If you want that division, go beat. You know, the Vikings could still win the division, but I think it was just a statement of if you want it, got to get it from the team that's had it and go beat the Green Bay Packers, and they couldn't do it. All right, see, the NASCAR championship was on Sunday. And I had to watch the introduction of Jeff Gordon because, you know, he's done for the for his career, and it's been a real special career, and I know I've covered it in a number of different stops along the way. But I'm curious to see how this, the game, you know, the sport comes to its close. And at the end of it, Kyle Busch won the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship. Now, here was the issue with, that a lot of people had with this. Kyle Busch missed 11 races at the start of the year. He broke a leg, broke his leg at Daytona in February, and he missed 11 races this year. And NASCAR had this rule that you had to start every single race in order to compete for the championship. But they waived it and allowed Busch an opportunity to compete for the championship. And he went out and got it. He won a bunch of races. He got his points up. And when push came to shove, he made the chase. He didn't get special bonuses or whatever. He was given an opportunity. But the rule was there, and yet they gave him a waiver. Now, my problem with this isn't the rule. I mean, the NASCAR can do whatever it wants. It's a governing body. It's like any other sports entity. They want to change the rules, it can change the rules. But my problem is, when you make a rule, it is for a reason. When you make a rule, it is because there is something about that particular rule you want to keep intact, or that scenario that you don't want to mess with. So naturally, there was a belief of you've got to start every race. Now, I think this prevented people from clinching a spot in the chase and then, you know, quitting or not showing up or whatever. But in this situation, he didn't race for 11 weeks because of an injury. And now I don't think NASCAR could ever apply this rule to a driver at all. That if a driver's got the flu, if he's sick, or, you know, he's got something wrong with him or whatever, I don't think that they can allow any sort of waiver. They just allowed a guy who missed 11 races to compete for the championship. Now, again, I have friends who are really into this, and they hated seeing this today. I have friends who were like, this is a joke. This should have never happened. I like Kyle. He's a fine driver, but this is ridiculous. This should have never went down. I get the purists. I'm fine. I'm not arguing for or against it. What I'm saying is, if you've got a rule and then your first test of that rule is, hey, what are we going to do with this kid? And your first thought is, nah, let's just waive the rule. Then take the rule away. You got to get rid of the rule because you just said this is important, but not really. So congratulations to Kyle Busch. I know there's people who are going to say this should have never happened. But again, you're dealing like we deal with this with the NFL, too. The NFL change rules on hits or whatever or anything along those lines. And we go crazy because we think that there's a higher level of football that the NFL should adhere to without realizing that they pretty much govern football. Right, there's no overriding belief. Baseball's the same way, right? Like there's this overall idealistic view of baseball, and that Major League Baseball has to make sure it adheres to that, the religion of the sport. That's not the case at all. You can change anything. You can take away the DH. You can add the DH. Do whatever you want. Lower the mound. Make the mound bigger. Do whatever you want. NASCAR is in the same boat. It didn't, you know, wanted to add some excitement. It created this playoff, changes things around a little bit. Had this rule, when push came to shove, they went, nah, that's not going to work. But now you know you can't really have it anymore. Because again, I mean, like I heard, a friend of mine said, this is like if Tony Romo leads the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, he missed 7 games. Not really. It would be like if the Dallas Cowboys didn't play for like 7 games, like didn't show up, like forfeited the games and made the Super Bowl. It wasn't, he's not part of a team. He is the team. He is the entity. Well, he won the championship. His brother won a couple of years ago. So Busch Brothers Racing champions. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio. More NFL next.